Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply.
All right, Mike Schilt says his team is a bunch of ballers, but the Padres have lost five consecutive games. They go 1-for-14 tonight with men in scoring position. To be fair, the strikeout of Jay Cronenworth to end the game was completely egregious.
It was
and the plate
shit.
Umpiring was awful throughout the course of the game. It doesn't excuse it, but it does explain the ending, which was completely egregious and unfair. And we'll never know what would have happened if properly umpired there in the ninth inning. But whatever, it is what it is. And the Diamondbacks win game one despite another large crowd. The Padres have lost five straight games, Jim, with five consecutive quality starts. Randy Vasquez pitched well. Padres came back from three runs to tie this thing and lose 4-3. So we're going to react to it all. Make your way in, grab a drink, grab some popcorn.
Grab a couple drinks.
Let's react. What's that?
Grab a couple drinks, potentially.
No, I just grabbed actually a Canada Dry. So here's the thing. Subscribe. We have year-round content for Padres fans. You have to subscribe if you are here, whether it's live or on replay. Smash the like button for us. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We will get to every single super chat here tonight. We appreciate your support of the channel. If you want to weigh in, if you want to make sure we get your comment, please consider a super chat by clicking the link in the description, or clicking the link wherever the hell it is.
You're drunk off Canada Dry.
I'm drunk right now. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, click the join button down below. You get emojis and you get badges. Another game, deja vu all over again. Same thing. They just cannot score. They fall behind early. It's close. It's winnable. They don't hit with men in scoring position. It's Marine Layer. And the Padres lose tonight 4-3.
1-for-14 with runners in scoring position tonight?
That's correct.
I mean,
it's not great.
It's not great. And the bunt in the eighth inning?
I didn't like it in real time either. I'm with you. Well, I get it. I get teams play for ties at home, but I don't like it. You can't score. I'm not giving up an out.
No, that's so stupid. You're giving up an out there. And a guy that's actually swung the bat pretty decently tonight. I mean, 1-for-3.
Merrily,
yeah.
Yeah, I like it. I know he's only hitting whatever he's hitting now, but I'm with you. I'll take my chances he can single somewhere because he's been a decent for average hitter.
Yeah, I thought he swung the bat pretty decent tonight.
Yeah.
I just hate giving up outs in that situation there because
right.
When you give up outs, you're putting so much pressure on a team that can't hit with runners in scoring position right now.
Yeah, and who are you playing for? You're playing for Kimmy and Wadey? You're not playing for Toddy and Manny.
No, you're not even playing for a healthy Manny right now. And it's like,
Manny, I'm all for it. If you're bunting and then Manny's the next batter up, okay. But no, Kimmy and Wadey.
Yeah, I thought, and the notion of, and I saw this on Twitter, and the attitude that you display as a team from your manager is aggressiveness. And it's not aggressive when you give up outs to play for ties. That's not being aggressive. That's like almost playing a little bit scared. And you're putting your team in a position where they have not succeeded all night long. And frankly, for the last five games now, they have done a horrible job with runners in scoring position. If this team was the best team with runners in scoring position of the year, they're on like a 7-game winning streak. Like, okay, maybe I get, and they're like 4-for-5 with runners in scoring position tonight. Like, okay, you're on a hot streak. You feel good about your team. And yeah, I'm going for the run there. But like, you were 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position tonight, and you just gave up outs. Like, what are we doing there?
Okay, so they were 1-for-7 yesterday, 1-for-14 today. That's 2-for-21.
That's just give up outs, though. Like, what?
Game before, 2-for-7. Let me do the math on it in real time. They're now 4-for-28 in their last three games. But let's do the whole losing streak. So 4-for-28 through three. And then 0-for-6, they're 4-for-34. Let's do one more game, the game in Kansas City. And if you include Kansas City, they were 3-for-8. So 7-for-42 with men in scoring position during the five-game losing streak. 7-for-42, that's not good. That's like football. That's 1-6. That's 167. That's shit.
Yeah, that's just give up outs and bunt.
Is that 1-6?
That's give up outs to move a runner in scoring position, but that's give up outs for our 8-9 hitters.
Honestly, it's not my, I'm glad you went there. I really am, because my primary takeaway would actually be to your, you mentioned the aggressiveness. They're running like the whole, hey, we play clean baseball, but they don't. First inning error. No. He's picked off second base randomly early in this game, two or three runs. They're not playing clean baseball.
No.
They're not this defensive machine. They're not Johnny first to third like we heard earlier in the year, or second to home. They're getting picked off. They're committing errors. They're not coming through with men in scoring position. They're doing all the things that losing teams do. They're not doing the things that winning teams do. Now, they did come back from 3-0 down, to their credit. They've done that a few times this year. But really, you know what they did? And I mean, they kind of took advantage of an Arizona miscue to score that third run. That's happened a couple times here recently as well. So, all in all, another bad night is what it is. I can't be sold on what Mike Schilt is selling post-game, which is, I love this group. We're a bunch of ballers. We're going to be fine. He may, in fact, be right, and the National League is awful. But just because the National League is awful doesn't excuse you playing awful baseball, because you keep playing like this, and you're going to play your way out of it at some point.
It is so easy to just be just livid at the final call of that game, and rightfully so. That was a horseshit call. Took the bat out of Cronenworth's hands. But that's not why they lost tonight. You go 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position, like we just talked about. You once again are sloppy on the base paths. You are running into outs. You're committing errors. Like, there's so much that happened tonight on like the bad side to the reasons why you lost. But yet you're getting the message from Schulte. A lot of good things tonight. A lot of good things tonight. Even though he went 1-for-14 with runners in scoring position, which he did acknowledge.
There's only two good things. Here are the two good things. What do you think I'm going to say?
Randy Vasquez and Tatis.
Yeah.
Still staying hot.
Those are legitimately two good things that have real legs to them. If Tatis continues to hit, that's a huge win. Yep. If Randy Vasquez can contribute the way he has recently, that's a huge win. That is important.
They have
96 games to play. Those things matter. But
the
rest doesn't.
Things. No.
And those things aren't, like, I'm talking about long-term losses, like Darvish, Musgrove, like those are concerning. Bogarts, you can argue whether it's concerning or not, but those are like real long-term issues that will plague you for months, potentially, if not longer, where Toddy and Vasquez could be beneficial for you weeks on end, hopefully months on end. Someone like Major, who made his major league debut, that could be beneficial. We'll see as we go along. But like everything else, the way they're playing as a team, the bottom line result of what we're watching, 40,000 people, you got to win at home against Arizona. You got to win on the road against Anaheim. You need to hold ninth inning leads like they had against Kansas City the other day. They didn't hold it. These are things you have to do. You have to hold multiple run leads. You can't get swept by Colorado and Anaheim. You can't lose home games to the Arizona Diamondbacks consistently. And they're doing all the things they can't be doing, Jim.
They're 13-20 at home.
That's not good. You can say it's bad.
Like, I'm just, again, like, I think as a manager, in-game managing, he's been fine. He's nothing special. He's fine. A couple aggressive moves with the bullpen. There you go. Pop it open. A couple aggressive moves with the bullpen that I think paid off in a big way by getting wins there early in the season. Great. Otherwise, it's kind of just by the book. There's some things in the bullpen that you don't like. You know, a lot of times he brings in guys middle of innings and it doesn't always work out, and like, it's, he's fine, but God, after game, it is fucking nails on a chalkboard listening to this guy talk about a team that's two games under 500 and has just lost five games in a row. I'm mind blowing.
I agree with you.
Mind blowing.
Do I look like, do you think this is a real size ginger ale? Like, do I look like Shaq with a basketball or is it a small ginger ale?
You look like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, it's just like a 6 ounce though.
Like Andre the Giant holding a regular size beer.
I also do want to get to, I do want to talk Marine Layer at some point. Not right this second, but dude, Toddy's ball. There was a ball in the eighth. Whoever hit it off, was it Cronenworth? I forget. Who hit that ball? I'm like, that's gone.
Proey
off the end of his bat. I mean, Toddy, like SoCal dude says here.
Yeah, Pro didn't hit that well.
Toddy, like he says, exit velocity and angle 64% home run. Yet he didn't homer. Like, don't tell me it doesn't get in their heads. It gets in their heads. Mark, thank you, man. Title sponsor of the wrap-up show is contributing to the wrap-up show, even though he already does. Mark, appreciate you. We'll tell you more about Mark Nimitz as we continue. If you need insurance, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. Click the link in the description down below. We'll tell you much more about Mark coming up. Let's get to some of these supers, guys. If you're here, subscribe. If you're here, we'll get to your super chats. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. There's a lot to react to tonight. LFGSD Danielle, thank you for once again hanging out and contributing. Danielle wants to know our opinions on robo umps. I'm in favor of them over Eric Backes, who was the plate umpire tonight. He was awful. It wasn't just Cronenworth. He was really bad. He was extending the zone a lot. All these umpires are bad by and large. He was, you can't end a game like that. You just, that's stupidity. One run game, guy on, good at bat, seven pitches, and that's how you end it.
Yeah, a very good at bat by Cronenworth. Frankly, you know, a couple pitches he just missed. Yeah.
He hit some balls fairly well foul.
And he was on Seawald that entire at bat.
I agree.
I mean, if Seawald messed up another pitch, I feel like Cronenworth would have done some damage there.
He could have.
Yeah, that was a horrible, horrific way to end that game. Does not excuse at all the loss for everything bad that happened tonight. And it certainly does not excuse them also on a five-game losing streak. It is a moment that everybody's going to be talking about because it's the last thing we all saw, and it also ended the game. I thought Schulte was going to get tossed early in that game. I did.
Too. He was like, yeah, he was barking for like a while, one inning early.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's already a fiery guy and just kind of one of those like tryhards. But like,
dude, I can't believe Schulte didn't absolutely lose his mind once the game ended just to like get some steam off. He did, but he didn't. I mean, he did, but I thought he could even go harder.
It's always funny after like the game ends, right?
Yeah,
and the manager goes out there and just unloads on this umpire, and then the umpire like tosses. Like, what are you tossing him for? You can't toss him. The game's over.
Game's over. Yeah. Was he like tossed?
He did the toss sign. Like, I don't
toss me to where the game ended.
I know the game ended. Like, what are we doing? But
to the point here, I'm in favor of it. I mean, I don't think it's perfect. I don't love the idea of an identical strike zone for everyone. Like, I don't need the exact precision to like the nth degree. Right now, you have no precision. You could be called out on a pitch 19 inches out of the zone. It's utter stupidity. So you're going to go from that to something that's so tight and clean and analytical. It might be a little weird. The way I do it is this. Each team gets five challenges. There's an actual plate umpire. If he screws it up, you say challenge. They review it in 1 second. If you're right, you keep your challenge. It takes 1 second. If it's a ball and you think it's a strike, you raise your hand. It's a 1 second process. They correct it or not, and that's how it goes. And that's what they're looking at. They're not looking at every pitch right now being automatic balls and strikes. They're looking at a review system. If you think it's wrong, raise your hand. They'll correct it in 3 seconds, and you have a series of challenges. That's what I would do.
Well, can't you have like the umpire behind home plate and he just gets buzzed like ball or strike?
They've done that in the minor leagues. They've considered using that. I don't think ultimately that's what they're going to use. What they're having success with now, either in double A or triple A, is the umpire like actually calls the game. If the catcher or the dugout doesn't like it, they have basically 1 second to challenge it. They do. It's reviewed within 5 seconds and they carry on.
No, I like that. I like that.
Yeah, I kind of like that. I mean, you'd have to say, tell me how many you could, do I get five challenges? Again, if I get them all right, I keep them for forever. I could challenge 100 pitches if I keep getting them right. But how many I get wrong is the question too.
What if you did like one per inning? Like, and they don't carry over. Like you get just one challenge per inning. And then as soon as, if you don't challenge anything, then it doesn't carry over.
But you just one per inning. What's interesting there, I like that a lot. The issue is if you choose the wrong pitch to challenge an inning, and then there's a more egregious pitch later in the inning, well, you're screwed.
Right. And it's a strategy thing. Like, do you want to challenge a 0-1 pitch?
The first batter
of
an inning, or do you want to wait as the inning prolongs? Because what if men are on base?
Or like, what if you did, you can only, that's tough too. I don't know. Like, there's ways to do it where it's not going to completely take the human element out of it, right? But it's also going to fix the human element that screws up a lot.
There's, I know this, they can make it better than what's going on right now, which is Eric Backes ending a game on a pitch that's 9 inches off the plate. And that's so terrible.
So bad.
JD's third, thank you. He says, what was Nando doing? 6 pickoffs leads Major League Baseball. He just like naps out there. He gets too cute. He's bouncing off the base. He's had an amazing run here. I mean, he's arguably as hot as anyone right now in baseball, not necessarily for power, but he's completely streaking. He's got Major League's longest hitting streak of 12 games.
Like 8 in a row. Padres
record. He tied the Padres record for most consecutive hits, 8, over a series of 3 games, but they've lost those games as well. But, I mean, Tatis, the good news is he's really comfortable, obviously, in the box right now. The bad news is, I mean, he took away a rally in this game, unfortunately.
Do you think the Padres tomorrow will give him, like, a plaque commemorating his 8 straight hits to tie a Padres franchise record?
Yeah, and you know who's going to give it to him?
Schulte?
Kevin Kuzmanoff, because that's who he tied.
Did you see tonight they gave a plaque to Jeremiah Estrada, who gave up the game-winning run tonight for striking out 13 batters in a row?
Do you think they give him a plaque tomorrow?
Do you think he's going Do you think he's going in the Padres Hall of Fame?
Do you think he's going to get a statue?
No team loves to give out participation trophies more than the San Diego Padres.
I don't have a problem with it, Drew. Who cares? It's a freaking
plaque. I thought it was a little weird. I don't know. That's just me.
Austin, thank you. He says they seem to just accept their weaknesses and lack the ability to change what's broken. Can't hit with runners in scoring position. Can't hit versus lefties. Can't win at home. Can't beat bad teams, by the way, as well at that. What else can they not do? Let's add on. Put it in the chat. They can't hit with men in scoring position fair. They can't hit lefties. They can't win at home. They can't sweep. They can't beat bad teams. They can't beat the freaking Rockies. They can't win in Arizona. Like, what are the things we say about the Padres?
They can't stay healthy.
They can't stay healthy. They can't keep their manager. They can't put together a 26-man roster.
They can't develop. They can't
develop pitching prospects.
Yeah. Jesus. Oh, man, dude.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fair point from Austin.
You know,
I mean,
you want to know something funny, John? Actually, it's not funny. It's kind of depressing, actually.
Okay.
According to Mency on X, I'm just going to take his word for it. After 66 games, John,
same
the 2023 Padres were 32-34. The 2024 Padres after 66 games are 32-34. Like I said the other night. It's the same team, just different problems, different areas that are like really bad. Last year's team couldn't hit with runners in scoring position. This year's team can't hit lefties. And they're also now starting to regress with the, you know, runners in scoring position. Can't win at home. Last year, this team just, I don't know, dude. It's the same team. It's the same team, different problems.
The funny thing is, they're nowhere near as good as last year's team from a talent perspective. They've overcome it by actually putting together games, innings, rallies, moments over the 66. They've had some of those. So maybe you could argue they're kind of, I don't know, exceeding their talent level. That may or may not be accurate. I thought they were more talented a year ago. This team is without Yu Darvish, Joe Musgrove, Xander Bogaerts. Arise isn't healthy. Machado isn't healthy. You can't overcome that. This roster cannot overcome that. It's not possible to overcome. They have to have Manny Machado. They have to have Luis Arise. They have to acquire starting pitching. I'm telling you right now, for as much as we love the 3-run innings, they had one today. For as much as we love the little pesky Padres and Jackson Merrill singling and Higgy hitting home runs like he did tonight, they're not good enough with these injuries to do this, even in the National League. I'm telling you, you're staring down the barrel of something that you don't want, which is 7th place in the National League, unless they get A, healthier, B, address starting pitching, and C, play better than they've played over the first 66 games of the year.
That's like all we talked about in spring training and in the offseason was like, they cannot afford, because the depth of this team is not great, any big time injuries for an extended period of time. Superstars needed to be superstars. And if that were the case, then they have a pretty good shot. And it's like all not like not happened. And I've said it, you know, I am not going to use these injuries as an excuse for this team. Sorry. They don't have any, as a franchise, like, what's the word? Goodwill, I guess. I mean, they don't have like a 110 win season they just came off of and being like, okay, well, I mean, I get it. You guys have shown that you can do it. This team hasn't shown they can do it. Mm-hmm. They have no excuses. If the Braves can win a World Series without Ronald Acuna, I'm sorry, you don't get the benefit of the doubt. You just don't. This has been too long now. This team has, and franchise has committed too much to, at the end of the year, if they don't make the postseason, blame injuries. Like, no, you guys are doing a lot of bad things that aren't injury related.
Right. I mean, to this super chat's point from Zach, thank you, Zach. And if you're here, please subscribe. If you're here, thank you for the supers. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. I'm not going to rip Schild on this at all. I think he's managed it relatively effectively, his bullpen. He says, I'm so sick of not giving relievers clean innings. What I will say is, it's probably the first time I've said this year with Estrada, kind of disappointing to come in that spot. Doesn't he come in two outs, bases empty, and he gives up the double off the foul pole, and then Ketel Marte singles? It's like, dude, you're in that game because you have to keep it where it is. Like, we're using our primary bullets to keep this thing tied. We're not preserving a lead. We're going to you to preserve a tie. There's no guarantee of winning when you're preserving a tie. And you go to your A team and he gives up a run in a tie. That is, that's not great. And again, I get it. Estrada hasn't been pitching. Suarez hasn't been pitching because they haven't had leads late in games. So you can go to him there and still have him bounce back tomorrow with a lead and pitch him. But man, it's like, those are the breaks. You're losing five straight games, and even Jeremiah Estrada has given up a run in a tie game. That's how bad tonight was.
Yeah, not looking dominant like he has been.
No,
exactly. AJ Caswell just tweeted out, Jerickson Profar said his fifth inning sacrifice was his own decision.
That's what Schulte basically said. He had the green light.
With the potential for it to become an infield hit. Jackson Merrill sack bunt in the eighth inning was Mike Schulte's call. Yeah. He said, why play for the tie there? Because Robert Suarez was fresh and had the ninth, Schulte said. Okay. And then he also tweeted out, Cassavell, Manny Machado was good for an at-bat, but not available to run. He'd have been pinch run for with Luis Campusano. Unlikely Machado starts tomorrow, Schulte added. So, okay. Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second.
I'm fine with it.
If it worked out, great.
Yeah.
If you got exactly. a base hit, that's great.
Yeah. Well, you tell him no. He comes up to you in the eighth inning. You're managing the San Diego Padres. He says, hey, I'm good to hit.
No, no one can tell Manny no. He's walking out there no matter what.
But it's not a bad thing to tell your manager. You're in uniform. You believe you can come through in the spot. He's not doing it for a freaking eyewash award. He's doing it because he thinks in his head that he can come through in that spot.
No, yes. But, you know, there's two sides of the coin here. Yes, if it worked out, then everyone's like, I mean, this entire show tonight is completely different. And it's like, oh my God, potential moment, turning point of the season. Manny getting that hit.
Oh, no doubt.
And then the other side of the coin is, you know, what if he hits a little dribbler down the third baseline?
You deal with it.
And he gets
thrown out on a ball that nobody else would get thrown out on.
Even more injured.
Well, he wasn't running. He was never going to run.
Then what's
so they were going to deal with that.
Okay.
If he hit the ball to the outfield, he would have made it to first.
Was there a sharp? Okay. Yeah, probably.
That was their theory. You know what I'm saying? You're right. There's a scenario in there where it could go horribly wrong. But 9 out of 10 times you hit the ball to the outfield, quote unquote, safely, you'll reach first base.
Okay. I mean,
that was my thing. I mean, and I get it. Dude, you have Kyle Higashioka or Manny Machado saying, hey, I'm grabbing a bat.
Right. You take Manny.
You just have to.
I get it.
You just have to.
That just speaks to like where they are right now.
Your point's 100% valid. It could have gotten really ugly if you hit some dribbler 35 feet up the line, everyone in the world would have been safe, but you're jogging and they have an extra second and a half and they throw you out. That would have looked awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's possible, but they were willing to deal with it. They're thinking, you know what? Maybe he just runs into a ball. Maybe he just, you know, like he just runs into a ball or hits it to the outfield. And
maybe
it's better than Kyle Higashioka is what they're thinking. I know Higashioka, Hud Homer, but these catchers have been terrible.
Yeah,
Dylan, thank you. He says, at least we can have all Bogaerts bobbleheads.
Is the shoulder still intact on the bobbleheads?
I don't even. Was Xander even there?
Probably not. I mean, he probably was. He's just kind of just incognito.
You know what? I feel there's 300 people here tonight. Here's what I'm going to do because I just have this next to me. Someone's getting this tonight.
Oh.
So here's the thing. We get 10 more subscribers. We're at 6315. If 10 people subscribe right now, if you are subscribed to the channel, put subbed, S-U-B-B-E-D in the chat. In the next 10 minutes, if we get to 6325, if we get 10 more subscribers, Jim will pick someone that wins. Okay?
Okay.
So from our friends at FOCO, Fernando Tatis Jr. had 8 consecutive hits. He is absolutely red hot. He's the longest hitting streak in Major League Baseball at 12 games. If you want this big head bobblehead from our friends at FOCO, subscribe and also put subbed in the chat. Someone is getting this tonight because you guys deserve it because you've been watching this horseshit baseball.
Right. A lot. We all deserve some good thing. I mean, something good because.
So subscribe.
Yeah, subscribe. Hit that like button. This is a labor of love. We all appreciate you here. Except for some of you. Some guy said, I don't know ball in the chat. I'll eat shit.
Who said Jim doesn't know ball specifically?
Yeah, whatever.
Who is he?
I don't. I'm not going to go back and look at it, but you know who you are.
You know who you are.
Yeah, whatever.
slotting ain't easy. We need to tell our viewers about Mark Nimitz in a moment. Subscribe, though, if you want this bobblehead. The player's body language displays complacency, which is discouraging, but they make millions at the end of the day regardless. So I get it as a fan. I don't see complacency like that to me. Like, I mean, is that, are you, when you watch this, is that screaming to you? Like they're complacent? 1-for-14 risk to me isn't complacent. It's bad. Getting picked off second isn't complacent. It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Cronenworth was pissed off the way the game ended. He was 7 pitch at bat in a big spot. He was giving up.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel that. They hit some balls well, too, Jim. Like that, again, we talked about Toddy profile. They hit some balls well.
It's not enough, you know? Like, this is the results-based business, especially after last season. We don't know if this team is any good. We don't know if this team is going to turn it around. We don't know if this team is going to be better than last year's team. They haven't proven it. There's nothing to fall back on and be like, yeah, last year's team was in the same position. And guess what? They reeled off like 18 of 20. No, last year's team collapsed. And you have essentially the same core here from last year's team. So, I mean, I have to see it to believe it with these guys. I cannot sit here and put out a message of, I believe in these guys, because what have they shown to make you believe in them over the last 2 seasons? Nothing.
They have nice uniforms. I you're right. I mean, let's get back to it in a moment. We do need to thank our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, on the wrap-up show. By the way, we're 8 subscribers away from giving this thing away, so if you haven't subscribed, you have to subscribe.
Oh.
Mark, thank you, man. I know Mark's been here and supporting the channel, and he's in the chat here tonight. He is a loyal, loyal Padres fan, longtime supporter of this channel since day one of the channel. Like, we don't get this thing off the ground without Mark, so everyone should thank Mark for helping us get this thing off the ground. If you have any insurance need, let Mark help you. He's going to save you money. He's going to save you time. He's a great insurance agent. It's really something that's a complete no-brainer. I've got homeowners, earthquake, and life insurance through Mark, and he's saving me so much money. And we had a claim a couple of years ago. He saved us so much time and money again. So click the link in the description down below. You can get free quotes online. Here's his website. Or just call him, and he'll talk to you about the Padres. He'll talk to you about saving money and what he can do for you and your family. But he's a great insurance agent. You can take that from me. He's got great service and communication. Whenever you need him, he is there for you. And he does more than what I told you about. He does auto. He does renters. He does condo. He does everything. So if you have an insurance need, if you support this channel, before you just renew your current insurance, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. Click that link in the description down below.
Yeah, all his information in the ticker there. His email address, mnimitz@farmersagent.com. When you reach out to our buddy Mark, let him know that John and Jim from the Wrap Up Show sent you.
So in addition to subscribing, get in contact with Mark Nimitz. Click that link in the description down below. Let's get back to it. John and Jim with you. Padres fall 4-3 to Arizona. Game one of a four-game series down at Petco. This 19-game soft stretch. I think the Padres are now under 500 in. They're definitely under 500, and they've lost five consecutive games. Style Clash 619, thank you. He says the comeback win down 8-0 against the Cubs. Remember, that was a turning point. Feels so long ago. Since that win, well, they're under 500, presumably.
And, I mean, remember when we were talking about, like, this team feels different? It might not be, like, better talent-wise, but at least they fight. They have grit, you know.
I thought that a week ago when they had the 11 hit inning.
Yeah, you're like, oh shit, all right.
Like, this offense is legit.
It feels different. Again, they might not be a 95 win team. They might not even be a 85 win team. But
they're out there grinding.
They're a different 84 win team. It just feels a little different. Like, we'll see what happens, but okay. Same shit, man. Same shit. They've had 2 5 game losing streak this year, and they've been swept 3 times.
This was the kiss of death right here.
It was. You went all in, and
when they were 21-20.
You
wanted me to go all in when they hit Shota Imanaga but lost.
You said you were going to go all in.
You're like, but they did. They had the lead against Shota Imanaga. I'm like, no. It's
they lost. But you said it. You're like, if they win tonight, they got
to
be.
But they didn't. But they lost the game. You still wanted me to go all in because like Profar hit a home run to go up like 2-1, and then they lost like 3-2 in that game.
Well, anyway, this team is the same. Different problems, different places. And until they prove it otherwise, I have like not a lot of faith. Like, I want them to prove me wrong. I want them to like not be last year's team, because last year's team was exhausting to cover. Mm-hmm. And this year's team is turning out to be exhausting to cover with some good moments here and there. More good moments to start this season than there were last year, even though they have the same
record.
Definitely. If that's crazy,
I think
to say.
So.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
Yeah. So, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of you're sitting here waiting. And I don't know if it's going to turn. I don't know if this team is going to show something that they haven't shown. You know, I mean, 2022 was great because of the postseason. But if you remember, for like 4 months of that year, they were a 500 team. They had a really good start to the season, and then they went 500 the rest of the way. I think they went like a couple games under 500, if I'm not mistaken. And that was like a 100 game stretch. But the postseason cured it all, you know? And you're sitting here like, do we really have to sit here and hope for that type of scenario again, where they win 83 games or 82 games, make the postseason, and we're just hoping for a magical postseason run to just forget how like up and down and average the baseball season was for these guys?
Well, yeah, probably. I mean, two things to that point. Like, we're like, man, like I'm saying, even like they're going to have to do this or it's not good. They don't have to do anything. They can play bad baseball and be fine. Like, let me be clear.
Tomorrow's they'll be gift wrapped a postseason spot.
There's no must win game tomorrow. They can lose a sixth straight game. They can.
And they're still in it.
And there is no must win. Until this thing gets to ridiculous levels and you're staring at 13 games or something crazy, 12, then you're going to be like, what the hell's going on? But there isn't a must win game tomorrow. And they don't have to get over 500 tomorrow. And they don't have to get over 500 by July 1st or August 1st, arguably. Now, they can't bury themselves. They can't get 13 under. But if they hover around 500, fall 3 under, get to within 1, fall 4 under, get back to within 1, they're going to be in position where they're a sweep away from being in a playoff spot. Now, they're the only team in baseball without a sweep, and it's not coming this series after tonight. But, no, there's no panic. I kind of buy that. I mean, there shouldn't be any panic. It's frustrating and disappointing and tough to watch. But the National League isn't good, and this 32-34 Padres team is very comparable to 5 or 6 other teams trying to get into the postseason, like San Diego.
Being a 500 team is like the worst. It's the worst.
It kind of sucks, yeah.
Because as a 500 team, you don't really know if they're if they're going to be good or if they're going to be shit. Like, which way are they going to go? Or are they just going to stay this way for the whole season? It's like three options. You actually are, you turn into a pretty decent team. You stay at 500 the whole year, or you suck and give up. Like, there's the three options there. And I have a feeling they're going to be towards the around 500 team most of the season. I don't think they're going to be that team of falling, you know, 10, 15 games under 500.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they're going to be that team that goes 10, 15 games over 500.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So it's like the frustrating part of it is knowing that there's like seven teams that all are just average that are going to be in it by default at the end of the year. Every single win and loss matters so much. I would bet you, John, the difference between, and I think you would agree, the difference between the seven and six seed or seven best team in the National League and the six, it's going to be a game or two.
No, it might be. It might not be a game. It could be a tiebreaker.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and the Padres could very well be one of those teams. So that's why, you know.
That's why yesterday's ninth inning is going to live in infamy, because if you miss out by a game, we'll go back to, I don't even remember what happened yesterday, but it wasn't good.
And that's why I think anybody out there that tells you it's fine and it's okay, it's not fine and it's not okay.
It kind of is, though. I'm selling it's fine. It's okay. I hate to say it, but it's true, Jim. They're 32 and 34, and if they beat the Diamondbacks tomorrow, everyone's going to be like, here we are. We're in the second wild card spot. It is fine.
No, but what I'm saying is, from that standpoint of like, at the end of the year, if they miss out by a game, then like, how many times would we say it's fine and okay in games they probably should have won?
Right. Well, then that's losing on them. They've had 35 times. There'll be two dozen times. It'll be like,
then it won't be fine and okay because they missed out because they lost these games.
The point is, they've had they'll have the dozen chances they've wasted already. There'll be another dozen or two chances that they'll either maximize or not still to come. Like, it's not gonna, there's no way I'm gonna look back if they miss out by a game and be like, man, that Cronenworth called strike cost them. Because what we're gonna do, Jim, is we're gonna look to the September 29th game they lose tragically and say the September 29th game is why they're out of the postseason. That's what we're gonna do. Against the White Sox, we're gonna say, when they got swept at home by the White Sox and missed out by a game, that's on them.
Oh, God.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
That's what people will say.
But there will be a lot of, like, you could say, well, because of that series. And then I'll be like, well, because of this game.
Well, of course.
Because of this game. Because of this game.
There's going to be a million examples when they go 80 and 82. JD's third, thank you. He says, F Manny. F Manny is not healthy. Whatever. Manny's not healthy enough to play tomorrow. Why let him decide to pinch hit? Who's the manager? Manny's not the GM. Mike needs to take charge. I don't think this is controversial at all. I mean, we can, if you want, we can make it that. I'm not hearing crazy outcry here. You have Kyle Higashioka. You have Manny Machado. I have no problem with Manny saying I can go and giving him the bat in that spot. I don't understand why you wouldn't do it, truthfully.
Well, I know he can't run, but don't you think he's a little compromised at the plate with
the heart? He's definitely compromised. He's definitely compromised.
So, like, that's where it comes in. You're basically putting up a guy that is not even close to healthy right now at the plate.
Agreed.
And that's where my problem, like, if Manny's sitting there and, like, I don't know, dude, like, he's just, say he's getting a day. I mean, if he gets a day off, then yeah, of course, like, he's a healthy man. He just got the day off. Yeah, exactly. But you're putting up a guy who can't run, and he probably can't swing the bat well because his quad's hurt. So would you rather have a 50%? Yes, I probably know the answer to this. 50% Manny Machado or a 100% anybody else? Probably take the 50% Manny Machado. I get it. I know. Yeah. But still, at the same time.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I just think after tomorrow, you got to IL him. Just there's no point in keeping him on your bench if he's going to be a 50% right. like guy. It's just there's no point.
Right. They just said he can't play them. Well, here's the problem with ILing him now. You just restart his clock. So now he will have to actually miss 10 games as opposed to like eight, you know?
Right. Yep.
Because he played today. So you can't put him on the IL before tomorrow. Darnay Tripp, thank you for producing the show. He said he just retweeted something. In each of their last five games, the Padres have gotten a quality start, out hit their opponent, and lost the game. No other major league team has gotten a quality start and out hit their opponent in five straight games and lost all five ever. Ever since earned runs were earned runs in 1913, 111 years, no team's ever done it.
Bunch of winning gamers, these guys are.
Well, they're trendsetters. They're doing something nobody else has ever done in the history of the sport.
I can't believe Schilt called you guys a bunch of ballers tonight.
I wish we might have to play that audio. You ballers, might have to play it off your phone. Play it off your phone into the mic if you have it.
Got a bunch of ballers on this team. Two games under Mike.
You've lost five straight to bad teams.
Five straight. You just literally set a freaking baseball historical record by these in this five game losing streak. But they're a bunch of ballers.
And we need to stop all Padres fans that are here tonight and everyone that's listening to us on John and Jim and everyone on social media. We need to stop. Well, they don't beat bad teams, but they are a bad team.
They're a bad team.
They're like, they're not beating teams below them in the standings. Arizona is like a percentage point behind the Padres. So they're the same team.
Yes.
Like even Anaheim, yeah, they're like six games behind you. They're not 30 games behind. They don't have nine wins on the year.
You know what happens when teams play the Padres right now? They're saying,
that's a bad team.
They're like, we need to beat a bad team. We need to go beat the Padres. They're a bad team.
Yeah, they don't have Musgrove. They don't have Darvish. They don't have Bogarts. Arise isn't healthy. Manny. He's not healthy. We better win the damn series.
Right. That's what other teams are saying about the Padres.
Right. That's what they're thinking.
Right.
Ben, thank you. He says, I think it, quote unquote, feels different despite the same results because it's a less star-studded team than 23, and there's more parity in the National League. That's true. There is more parity. And the National League last year was kind of horse crap with 84 wins getting in. I you could absolutely make the argument with everything we know today that less than 84 wins get you in. I can't guarantee it, but there's a very good scenario, very likely path to 83 wins in the postseason, 82 wins, maybe 81 wins. That's very plausible. So I do think there's more parity. I do think the team has had a little bit of a different feel at times, but 32 and 34 is 32 and 34, and that's what we're looking at. But the watered down National League maybe does benefit them by a game or two, potentially.
I mean, frankly, the most realistic scenario that I would hope for, and I think every Padres fan would take in a second, if you did finish the season with 84 wins or 83 mm-hmm. wins, 83-79, I do hope that that they're playing like really good baseball leading into September.
Yeah, if they go 12-3 in the last 15 to get in.
Yeah, then things could be a lot different, and you can change a narrative like that. Yeah. You know, but if you limp in by losing, 12 of 20, to make the postseason at 82-80 or 83-80 or 83-79, and you lose in the first round, or you get swept in the wild card round. Like, I don't think many people are going to be looking at this as like a successful season.
Yeah, you're. I don't know. I can't forecast how it would be perceived. It's so hard for me to get a read on that, truthfully.
I think we just have to wait to see what happens. We just have to wait to see what happens. And whatever happens, then I will react accordingly. Because as right now, that's how I just feel in this moment. But maybe I'll feel differently if that scenario happened and they made the postseason at 83-79. And I'm like, actually,
it's like how you get there. To your point, like here's a good example, and then we're going to get to our buddies at Finley. We'll get back to the super chats. Please subscribe. We need 8 more subscribers to give away this bobblehead. Thank you for the super chats. We'll get to all of them. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. To your point, right now they're 32-34. Let's say this goes completely sideways, and all of a sudden you look up, they're 10 under. But if they go from 10 under to finishing the season over, you'd be like, wow, in the second half, they played a lot better than the first half.
Yeah.
They played 12 over after playing 10 under or whatever. And that's what people will say whether we agree with it.
It's how they get there. You're right. It's how they get to whatever mark, which will
probably
be a low 80 win total potentially.
That's my guess. All right. We've been telling you guys about our new partner here on the wrap-up show, our friends at FinLeet, local San Diego startup offices that oversee Petco Park. We might tell you more about that actually in the weeks ahead, but really cool company, huge Padres fan, San Diego through and through. And here's how we explain FinLeet. This is the easiest way to do it. FinLeet gives fans the chance to own a piece of the potential upside of real athletes. What do we mean by that? Well, click the link in the description down below. Get to the website you see on the screen. They have their first professional athlete. His name is Ashedri Vargas. He happens to be one of the top prospects in the Texas Rangers organization. You, as an individual, can support a rising prospect and get paid a piece of his future major league earnings. He signed for very little money. They're raising capital that will allow him to focus on baseball. This isn't the first example of a player doing a deal like this with a company like FinLeet. Fernando Tatis Jr. did it with a company called Big League Advance. He gave up 10% of his future earnings, aka $35 million. Nobody's saying Ashedri Vargas is Fernando Tatis Jr., but imagine if you could have invested in Tatis. That's the opportunity you have right now in Ashedri Vargas. If you scroll down at the website, you see you can invest for as little as $96. That investment will yield potential returns based on whether or not he has success in the major leagues. The more success, the more return you could potentially have. The more you invest, the more return you could potentially have as well. Hundreds could turn into thousands. Thousands could turn into clearly tens of thousands of dollars. So if you're looking for more information, make sure to check him out. Really cool company. You can click that link in the description down below and learn more about FinLeet.
Yeah, click the link description below. Go to their website. Check them out. Mark Grant is an advisor of FinLeet. Their office is right across the street from Petco Park. We potentially have something big planned with FinLeet here in the next month. Stay tuned for that announcement. So again, yeah, we're glad they're on board. Click the link below, go to their website, and check out FinLeet.
All right, let's get back to the Super Chats. Padres lose game one to Arizona. They've lost five straight. They lose 4-3. John, thank you for the generous Super Chat. We appreciate you, man. He says, this team is frustrating, but we've put ourselves in a bad position for riding the 500 record for this long. All it takes, a bad streak to get out of this, and we become the Mets. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Like, as close as they are to, like, 36 and 34 with a four-game winning streak is as close as they are to 32 and 38, which is the New York Mets.
Right.
So that's a reasonable and fair take.
Yeah, it's teetering. It is definitely somewhere that you don't want to be because you lose 3 of 4 here to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, you got work to do.
You know? I mean, it's not the end of the world, but it would feel like the end of the world when you would have lost at that moment in time 8 of 9, right? No.
Well, they came in with 4. If they lose 3 of 4,
7 of 8.
7 of 8.
7 of 8, sorry. But yeah, you are in a position where it could go sideways kind of quickly because it's kind of heading down that path. But just like win tomorrow and you feel better. And I mean, at worst, split the series. You obviously want to win the next 3, but like start playing better baseball. Just start not running into outs. Start
about like score runs,
scoring runs.
Would that work? Because they're not hitting right-handed pitching the last 2 days.
When's the last time this team had a 2-home run game? We talked about that a couple nights ago.
Dude, when's the last time they like hit a home run? Well, Kyle Higashioka. They don't have any power, and some of that's Petco's fault because I see well hit balls.
When's the last time they hit like a 3-run homer? Seriously. 3-run homer. When's the last time they hit a 3-run homer? Anybody?
Second George Bush in office? I don't know.
I mean, they didn't hit any versus the Royals. They had a couple of home runs, but they didn't have any like 3-run homer versus them. They haven't hit a 3-run homer all week. I mean, when's the last time this team has hit a 3-run home run?
It happened. But you're right.
I gotta look this up.
It's been a while. Look that up. Go back and look at box scores or someone put in the chat. When's the last time they had they've hit what, 1 grand slam this year?
Yeah, potentially.
Was it the Crone Zone?
I think they've only hit back-to-back home runs twice this year, and it was both Tatis and Cronenworth.
All right, you look that up. I'm going to continue with the Super Chats. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Really do. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. Mauricio Machado said it last five-game skid. I'm saying again now, this is the second super sketchy part of the season. I feel like Jim, but thanks, John, for trying to ease the pain. Thank you both. It's never as bad as you think it is. Like, and I credit Jim because Jim, like, you know, he like wears it on his sleeve. I sometimes do, but the benefit of perspective can be valuable here. They're not as bad as they're playing now, and they're not as good as the team that had that 11-hit inning the other day, and you can't bank on that crap to occur ever again this season. So they're in between, and in between 32 and 34 is basically a 500 team is my guess. So they're not great. They're not horrific. They're average. So that's how I see them. I see them as better than a five-game losing streak every 2 weeks. But that doesn't mean that they're a good team, in my opinion. Are you still looking?
Dude, it's been a while.
All right, you keep looking. Slot Nate.
A three-run homer.
Or more.
Or a grand slam.
Or a grand slam. He's looking. Slot Nate Easy says, Padres number one in baseball batting average at 259. Can't buy runs. Hold on. The Padres lead baseball in batting average right now?
On the road.
It's just a On the road
they do.
But who leads baseball in batting average in general?
Not the Padres.
Not the San Diego Padres? Not these ones that are number one at MLB.com?
Oh, they do?
That's freaking crazy.
Because of what they've done on the road. They're basically like they hit 300 on the road.
That's crazy. I'm just going to tweet that out. Just tweet it out. Thank you, Slotin' Ain't Easy.
All right, this is getting... like, dude,
you're still looking. Keep looking. Thank you for that, though. Slotin ain't easy. Spicy Mayo, thank you. From Tingler to Bomell. To Mike, if manager keeps getting, but gets similar results, is it really on their manager? Thanks, love what y'all do. Appreciate you, Spicy Mayo.
Oh, this is on the players, but the manager is delusional. That's where I'm
This manager is different than these other managers. Tingler, we criticized, obviously. Melvin, I think at times we were critical of. Shield, at times we've been critical of. It's just this commentary. His post-game commentary to the media is a little odd.
It's just like... you know, not watching the same game we're watching, and he comes off of very like just he comes off as a tryhard, and it's like, why are you sucking up to these guys? They're big leaguers. They're adults. I mean, come on, we don't have to massage these guys all the time. Give me a break. You know, like we know when they do well, Mike. You didn't do well tonight, and you haven't done well for the last five games. So don't tell me there's a lot of good things to happen tonight. By the way, John, I am like digging, and I can't.
Where are you? Like, are you in like April?
I'm in May, bro.
Well, definitely in May.
I'm in mid May. No.
You're still looking. Someone will probably put in the chat. Or maybe not. Keep looking.
Hold on. Okay, let me see here.
I mean, come on. They haven't hit a three-run home run in a month? Rich McGuire said May 1st. Musical Human said May 1st.
May 1st versus the Cincinnati Reds?
Yeah, I mean, but was there something between May 1st and where you are? But according to both of those.
Oh, there we go. There's the Cronenworth home run, yeah. Cronenworth hits a grand slam. That's, yeah, there we go.
Come on. Their last three-run homer or greater was May 1st?
Yep.
That's crazy, dude. That's, no. Are we sure?
Yeah. Trust me, I looked through all of May, and I was in the middle of April.
Dude, that's a big, big, big problem. Like, what did I say yesterday? If you expect over the next 90-something games to get the freaking BABIP luck for 4 and 5 run innings, then I've got something to sell you. that you shouldn't be buying. You know what I mean? Like, you can't expect that to continue to occur. It's already occurred at a statistical anomaly, is my guess. So that's a big concern, like a massive concern.
Yup.
John, thank you again. He says, that being said, I refuse to believe that this is the same team from 2023. Okay. We as a fan base have bad PTSD, but this team has shown moments that surprised even the most bitter Padres fan. Go Pods. LFGSC, SD. We'll see. I don't know. He might be right. He might be wrong. We'll know at the end of the year. Are they the same team or not? Worse, better? We don't know.
In this moment in time, I do believe that they're closer to this, to the team they were last year than not. Mm-hmm. But like, they do have an opportunity to turn it around.
Definitely.
You know, they have an opportunity to go out there and not be like last year's team that completely collapsed and then had to, you know, beat up AAA teams in September to have a respect, like to be over 500.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they have an opportunity to not do that, but there's a lot of things they're doing right now that are like last year team light. And there's things that they're saying that brings you back to last year. Like what happened the other night with Jerickson Profar, what he said about, you know, we just find ways to lose. Like, that's not something you want to hear.
One for 14 RISP is finding a way to lose, you know?
Right. And then it gets into their heads or something. I mean, that's also on the manager for making sure that Sunday's loss to the Royals doesn't carry over into the next series. Like, yes, the players are the ones that go out there, and ultimately it is on the players for this 5-game losing streak, but like, the manager does have some type of influence here, and I feel like his influence, I don't know what his influence is doing to this team. Is this team running into outs because all Mike Schilt preaches is being aggressive? And so everyone's like, fuck it, I'm just going to go crazy on the base pass.
Or are they running into outs because they know at the end of the day, he'll pat them on the back and be like, great try? Or is they that actually the manager that he's being, or just the one he's conveying to the media, and he's a different manager with his team?
Or are they running into outs because they're just not good baseball team?
Fernando Tatis Jr. should not be running into outs.
But he is, like, way too much.
Yep. I have a quote here from Jay Cronenworth in Kevin Acey's postgame article.
Give it to me.
It's not overly impactful because, you know, Cronenworth, he doesn't really say anything crazy impactful typically.
Yeah.
On the final pitch, it was a ball, Cronenworth said. I don't even know what to say. He took the bat out of my hands at the end of the game. It sucks. It comes down to his decision. I mean, and I saw a couple people saying, like, you got to swing with two strikes or whatever in that spot. No, you don't. Not if the pitch is that far out of the zone. You don't have to swing. That's the umpire's job, is to properly determine whether it's a ball or a strike. This is not some borderline pitch. This is not a borderline pitch. This is a pitch well outside the zone.
Is there anything else from Kevin's article that's interesting?
No, it's the Schilty quotes that we watched. Ben, thank you. He says, Schilt comes off as arrogant without the pedigree. So it's just combative, fragile, and weak. An inability to face criticism is a sign of weak leadership. Kind of like that line.
Yeah, like the reality is, Mike Schilt, while he was successful in his brief time in St. Louis, has done nothing here. Nothing. I don't care what he did in St. Louis. I don't care about the 18 or 17 game win streak in St. Louis to end that year. Mm-hmm. This is the Padres. Like, he's the manager of the Padres now. And so, as a first time manager with the Padres, he has done nothing to prove that, you know, this team is good in his eye. Like, it just, he's just, I don't know, dude. You're right. At this point in time, with everything that I've heard and seen from Mike Schilt, it's a nails on the chalkboard post game press conference majority of the time, and I'm sitting here getting the same vibes I got from Jace Tingler. That's how I feel.
It's tough. I mean, honestly, some of.
Not his managerial like style.
Yeah, exactly. Truthfully, I'll be honest with you. I thought Tingler actually handled it better with the media.
Well, Tingler had one. He had like,
yeah, the battling thing was stupid.
All he said was they battled all the time.
That was bad. And calling out Tatis on the 3-0 swing,
yeah,
in theory, was bad.
And Shilty, all he has is Alibi and Gamers and Ballers.
He didn't use it today, did he?
He hasn't used it the last two games, which I'm surprised.
Gosh.
Because I would have bet a lot that he would have used. We're not going to Alibi this 5-game losing streak.
JD's third, thank you for the super chat. He says this team is 6 games under 500 since August of 2021. Is that right? Yeah, we said that the other day. Huge sample size. That's true. This is who they are. This is who they've been. Can't argue with the record. I mean, each team is its own team. But to your point, you know, you add it all up, I guess it's been pretty bad.
Do since 2019 when Manny Machado first got here.
I did it the other day, remember? I mean, remember, like when I did it 10 days ago, they were 7 games over 500 in 6 years. They're not anymore. They're probably like 2 games over 500.
Yeah.
In 6 years.
Yeah. So in the time of the decade of the Padres, they're a 500 team with an outlier NLCS run right now.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, now, things could change.
You look at it, yeah.
Things could change in a big way, but like as of right now, that's who they are.
I'm just looking at this. Like we talk about this stuff all the time. Is it the backdrop? They changed the batter's eye. Other teams have hit. The Padres occasionally hit. They hit in day games. They are awful in night games. There's another thing. Add to the list. Night games at home, give me a break. They're winning like 20% of the time. JD's third, thank you. He says that's well over 350 games to be 500. Yeah, I mean, no, everyone gets it. I mean, if you've been watching, you realize they haven't been good for a long period of time. You know, we've been watching. They haven't been good. Last couple of years, they haven't. I've been very blah.
This quote, man. I love this club, man. These guys show up. They're ballers, man. They get after it. We haven't won a few. It's not going to last. This club's going to be just fine. I sit here and I can tell you if you had some concern, if it was guys going through the motions, giving away at bats, preparation wasn't good, competition wasn't involved.
Can I play, man?
Giving away anything.
Can I play Marty's channel? Because she's got Machado on playing through injury and if he can avoid IL.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, boys and girls. So I'll just pull up her channel, right?
Yeah, it's fine. It's
okay.
And if, yeah, it's fine.
Everyone relax. Stand by. Okay. How do people do this as like a one-man show?
It's called like, they have like this.
Having a clue.
It's like, you know, setup where they just press one button and it just like automatically does it for you.
All right, hold on. Can you hear this?
Yeah. What determined that you were okay to go out and try to do that?
Just how the day was progressing today. You know, came in, was feeling better throughout the day, so things started going. Took some swings, felt pretty good. So, yeah.
Was that during the game that you took swings?
Yeah.
Schilt said you told him that inning. Mm-hmm. Were you just watching, kind of waiting for the moment to say, "Yeah, I'm ready"? Or
yeah, I mean, it's. You know, just honestly, just happened. You know, I told him, hey, whatever, if you need me, I'll be ready. You know, came up and, you know, obviously came up short. Should have got a hit there and would have been a lot better. But, yeah.
Obviously, running is a thing now. But was this in any way a good sign? I mean, to start, you would have to be able to run the bases. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's definitely, you know, hitting felt good. You know, we did some things in the training room today as well that went pretty well as well. Like I said, things have been, we're progressing pretty good all day. It's been feeling better. Feels a lot better today right now as well. So, you know, it's a good sign.
When you say you should have gotten it just because you should have, or was there a pitch or two?
No, it was that pitch. Yeah, he gave me the pitch, the 2-1 count there, left it there. That was the pitch I was looking for. Just got a little bit up top of it.
Based on how you feel today, and you know your body very well, do you expect that you will fully avoid the IL?
Yeah, I think so. I think you know how today went for sure. You know, I think it's a possibility. I mean, you can never rule stuff out. Yeah, definitely I feel a lot better today. Felt a lot better throughout the day as well. You know, progression has been going pretty good. So yeah, hopefully it's definitely a, you know, I'm a guy, don't like going on DL, and I fight everything to do and, you know, spend a lot of time taking care of it and doing everything possible to, you know, to get out there.
Just thought you saw something there, or?
Yeah, I mean, the guy was having the same timing with his head, me at second base, and, you know, that time he was holding a little bit more, and they got me. You know, he's trying to be aggressive, trying to create something for the team right there, and, you know, they were one step ahead of me on that play.
Did this game feel different? Still lost, but did this feel different than the 3 in Anaheim?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We create more. We play good D, and you know, we came pretty close. My fly ball to right field, I had a 102 with 30. Damn, so we gotta still keep grinding. So, you know, we put good at bats collectively. We didn't have field calls our way. The guys behind me, so you know, it's a hard one to swallow.
Go the way you wanted an eighth, but just to see him.
It's amazing. It's amazing. You know, Manny's a unique player, and every time he's on the field, he can do something special. So, you know, just him coming through that way, he didn't get the result, but it's just a good sign that, you know, he's close to being back.
The stretch that you're having right now, do you feel like that you are the player that can carry this team the way you have in the past?
We have really good players out here. I'm going to do everything in my power to help this team win. And, you know, and hopefully it can stay the way it's going right now.
Help us to see how Randy Vasquez bounced back tonight after a tough early stretch.
It was amazing. You know, they got him in the first inning, and then he bounced back, and he looked like a real pitcher out there. And, you know, he stood up and threw six and two thirds, which I think it was a really good start for himself.
Thank you, Marty Caswell, by the way. Credit Marty. Find her channel. Subscribe to it. We wouldn't have that without Marty, who is there working all day and then working all night like we are. So make sure to find Marty Caswell on YouTube as well. What did we say, Jim? Manny Machado is not going on the IL.
Mm-hmm.
Because Manny Machado won't go on the IL. And he just told the media how he feels about it. It's not happening.
Yeah. I mean, if he's going to say it's a good sign and he feels good, like I'll trust him there. Yeah. I'll trust him. I just hope he's not like trying to push through it just because he doesn't want to go on the IL, and the team team is like, hey, we don't think this is a good idea, or like maybe you just take a couple days, and he's like, nah, I'm playing. You know, like I just hope this doesn't turn into a bigger type of thing. He didn't look that comfortable at the plate personally. I just didn't think that like he had any good swings, and he said he missed that pitch. Okay, he missed the pitch, but it wasn't like he was putting on good swings before that, you know, like his first swing, I think he was just like a half swing. And yeah, I don't know. So it was a moment that he missed, and it would have been a big freaking moment for this team, huge moment for this team. And instead, you know, just didn't come through. Didn't happen.
Can we touch on, you know, you just mentioned that quote from Schilt and tweeted it. But it reminded me of what he said to start the press conference, where he was upset about Cronenworth, rightfully upset about Cronenworth being called out to end the game. But if you remember what he said, and we'll get to the supers that are rolling in, and please subscribe. But if you remember where he was, he's like, I got a bunch of guys fighting their ass off, scratching and clawing, do everything they can to. But all the teams have that, Mike. Like Arizona's would say the same thing if they lost a game like that. They would all say the same thing. Like, your team isn't doing anything differently than the other teams.
No.
Tell me what they're doing. The scratching, clawing, working their ass off. You're telling me Arizona's not doing the same thing? That Anaheim's not doing the same thing? Well, they might not be winning at the same clip at Anaheim, but they're not putting themselves in a position. They're not trying. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is it about the Padres specifically that makes them this unique group of individuals that, like, doesn't deserve to have the bat taken out of their hands for the 27th out? None of the 30 teams deserve to have the bat taken out of their hands for the 27th out. And I don't see why the Padres are any different from the other 29 clubs based on anything that happened here tonight. Do you?
No, they're not. I do think it is like this message and directive from this franchise. After you had guys last year openly saying that they quit in games,
mm-hmm.
that can't be the message again. That can't happen. We can't say that, you know, hey, I think these guys did, you know, quit and this and that. And I mean, especially when you have branded your season around playing for your late owner, Peter Seidler, who was like the ultimate optimist and tried to do everything in his power to put a winner on the field for you. And you reward him last year by quitting. And then you do the same things the following season after you're pretty much dedicating this year to him. So I do think there is a directive, a message, a tone that will never go away with a Mike Schilt managed team, is that they always fight. They never quit. And that's going to be something that he says consistently. And if they don't show those things, you're never going to hear him call his team out. Never.
I guess also the other thought process I had there is
publicly,
that
at least publicly,
right? If he does believe, and I don't think he doesn't believe that he doesn't have a group that is a group of fighters, so to speak. I don't think he believes he has the opposite of that. But what does it say about your team if you are, quote unquote, outworking the other 29 teams and you are fighting your ass off to put you in these positions? You're doing all this workload just to get to 32 and 34, as in you don't have the same level of talent. Like, it takes all this extra work to put yourself in a position to win. Like, what are we saying? And that kind of speaks to what we said in the offseason, which is like, are they as talented as they need to be to win over 162 when you don't have Juan Soto, when Xander Bogaerts doesn't perform, when Manny Machado doesn't perform? Like, is there enough talent there to win, or are they just going to out-hustle people? It's hard to out-hustle people for 162 and get rewarded for it. I'm sorry. Like,
yeah,
that's not going to be the difference between winning and losing. Tristan, thank you. Tristan saying, saw Preller at the game today. He was on the phone, which is funny and not surprising. And then followed up, thank you, Tristan, by saying, also, last time we lost five in a row was when we had a heartbreaking loss in Colorado, blowing a lead in the eighth inning, this time blowing it in the ninth in Kansas City. Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Like, there are similarities there in how the losing streak started with deflating losses, both of them.
Right. And these heartbreaking losses aren't like, oh, we're going to turn the page. They're bleeding into like these multiple losing streaks of three, four, five games in a row. That has to stop. That has to stop. I thought this team was better mentally equipped this year because they have shown things that you didn't really see much from last year's team. But I don't know if it's going to be enough of that this year. I don't know. I hope they do show it. I hope that, you know, fans can start being happy of what they're watching and go to the ballpark and not go to the ballpark and have like this depressed feeling every time. Like, you know, that place is full every night and every single night, majority of the time, 20 out of 33 times this year, it's been just a disappointment for 40,000 plus.
Who was there? And I know Rich was there. Rich, you're in the chat with us live right now. But what was the crowd like tonight? Because it looked to be A, late arriving, and B, not overly filled by Padre standards. That was my perception on television. I'm not there. They announced, Jim, 39,963, which is huge.
And tonight was Xander Bogaerts bobblehead night.
And that's big. A 39,963 is big. But did it feel like 39,963 if you were there? I'm asking anyone in the chat that was there tonight. Was this a large crowd, a loud crowd? Was this a good crowd by Padres standards? Again, the team plays a role. They're down 3-0 immediately. Yes, I know they did. And they also got excited for Manny when he came out of the dugout. Okay. So, yeah, I get it. I mean, they were losing a lot of the game, and they never led the entire game. We're going to get back to the chat in a moment. We do need to remind you about Underdog Fantasy, because look at this, Jim. What's going on tonight, right now, and this is why you need to go to Underdog Fantasy or scan that QR code and use promo code PODSWRAP. You get a $250, up to $250 in bonus cash if you use promo code PODSWRAP. You get a 50% deposit match, and you get a free special pick. What is a free special pick? This. Kyrie Irving, he's going to score higher than a half point. I have a feeling. I really do. I think he's going to do it in game two. They're giving you a free special pick if you go to underdogfantasy.com and sign up with promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP.
You'll get a 50% deposit match up to $250 plus that free special pick. So you got one pick for your pick 'em, and now just go find a second. Let's say Michael King, you feel confident about him allowing lower than five hits tomorrow.
What about Let's just Tati? Give me something for Tati. He's on fire.
Yeah, you're right. Higher than 1.5 total bases, please. All you need now is Michael King allowing four hits and Tati having two total bases, because we got that free pick for Kyrie Irving. $10 is 72, 100 is 720. Okay.
Oh, baby.
And we can get cuter than that. I mean, we can, if you want to add
let's get cute.
Let's get cute. How about, I think Luis Arraez could have higher than a 1.5 total bases. Now all of a sudden our $10 is 110.80 and our $100 is $1,188. And by the way, even if you get one wrong, you can still win up to $712. So use promo code PODSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Get the 50% deposit match. Get the free special pick. Free pick they're giving you right now. Go to underdogfantasy.com, Jim.
Yep. QR code right above my head. Scan the QR code. Download the app. Use promo code PODSWRAP when you sign up. And you're off and running.
All right. Underdog Fantasy. Check it out. Support the channel. Use promo code PODSWRAP. PADSWRAP. Back to the Supers. William, thank you. Says losing mentality. You are what your record says you are. Yep. Good teams don't miss opportunities to win against bad teams. Schiltz, soft, no accountability. I don't think he's saying we have a losing mentality. I think he's probably saying the team.
That's a good point, William. Like, and I asked this today. Like, who's going to hold these guys accountable? We can sit here, media can write everything and say these guys need to be better, but nobody cares. Like, and we're. Unless Matt Kemp's in the room, then it's great. But like, you know, who has to hold them accountable is who's in that clubhouse. And who's in that clubhouse is, you know, who are the leaders of this team and your manager. Because if your manager's not going to hold you accountable, then what's the fucking point? You know, like he's there for a reason. I know managers, there's certain things that he has no control over. Right. And I know some people argue managers don't matter at all. I would say they kind of do, but like, who's going to hold this team accountable? Who? It's not us.
I think it's John and Jim.
Realistically, it's not us. I know there's a lot of times people are like, right. Media, you guys need to hold them accountable. We do hold them accountable every day. Enough. It's not enough because we truly, honestly don't matter. We could come on here every night, no matter what, and act like Schulte and act like the post-game show, okay? And be like, man, that's a tough loss, but some really good things tonight with Randy Vasquez, and just completely just wax this team off. But we don't. We tell you like it is. When they win and do things and do good things, like we praise them and tell you about it. And when they lose, we tell you about it, and we're critical. But like, right. What we say truly doesn't matter. It's about who is in that clubhouse that's going to hold these guys accountable and say, enough of this bullshit, this 5-game losing streak, we're done. Us running into outs, we're done. Sloppy play, we're done. You need to be better. You need to be better. We need to be better as a team. This is unacceptable. We have higher standards for ourselves, and we need to act like it. Who's going to do that? Because right now, it doesn't seem like managers are even close to doing that ever. Publicly, maybe
if he's doing it, it's privately, and he's doing it, it's not what we're seeing, that's for sure,
right? But again,
but that's also disingenuous. Like, would the team respect that he's completely different with them than he is with the media? Now he's backing the team, so maybe maybe they would.
Well, we know, and we've talked to many people, like, this is by design for whatever the by design means. What he says and does and the amount of positivity that he spews out there, no matter what happens, is by design.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So like, yeah, I don't know, dude. I mean, who's going to step up and hold this team accountable, and who's going to step up and say enough's enough? Besides us.
I will. Besides JD Gaucho, thank you. He says leaving wins on the table may come back to cost him. May? I mean, it either will or it won't. I mean, it's not a may. I mean, it absolutely can. We get it. That's how sports work. I mean, yeah, you pile up too many losses, you're out. Like, that's kind of where they're trending, with a fortune of games to be played, like a true fortune, twists and turns everywhere.
It's June. It's a lot of baseball, no matter what we all feel about it. No matter where you think they are, they have more games to play than they've played. Consider that. They have more games to play than they've played. And it's not particularly close yet at this point. So there's opportunities to take advantage of or squander. Tristan, thank you. Telling us tonight, crowd was loud and full, tired of wasting money on them. I mean, that's another conversation. I've never, if you've watched this channel, Jim's been the same way. I've never been a proponent of telling people not to support the team, regardless of how they're playing. I think the support's phenomenal. I think it's beneficial for the organization short and long term. But I wouldn't tell you, if you don't want to support them, you don't support them. You know, I mean, we can't force 40,000 people in the building. People are, and nobody's being forced to do it, Jim. This is routinely 40,000 people in the building, and it will be tomorrow night on a Friday, yep. And it will be on a Saturday, and I'm certain it'll be close to it at least on a Sunday.
I might be there tomorrow night, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Aaron will 100% be there, though. I might be there. I don't know.
Sweet Life?
Yeah, potentially.
Oh, must be nice. Yeah. Eating sushi, watching freaking Matt Waldron. Know who's pitching tomorrow?
Couldn't ask for anything better, bro.
We were there last year when Matt Waldron was pitching, eating sushi. He allowed like 3 home runs.
I know.
Who is it tomorrow?
It's King. Yeah.
Against Brandon Fatt. He's actually pretty good. He's solid. So yeah, like, decent pitching matchup, actually.
Yeah, I might go. I might go if there's another ticket for me. But Aaron will definitely be going.
And this is the point, Tristan. Thank you again for joining. I mean, of course, that's what you should. I mean, yes. You're a fan. Nobody's saying hate the team. Nobody. No. That's the problem. That's why whenever someone's like, I'm not going to spend money. Like, no, if you like the team, you like the team. I mean, it's like family. You know, you like your family, even if you say you don't. You still go to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, you're still going to go.
Yeah, you might be annoyed with them, but you're still there because you love them.
And guess what? You're going to miss them in November when it's November 19th, and you can't go to Petco November 19th. So go when you can.
Yeah, nothing in this town, and we've seen it, right? I would say over the last, 3 years, the two best sporting feelings that this town has gone through is the San Diego Padres going to the NLCS and the San Diego State Aztecs going to the Final Four. I mean, when this town has a winner, oh my God, it is so much fun. It's so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it firsthand, you know, not a lot, right? But those two things I just mentioned, the Final Four and the NLCS run, I mean, we were big parts of it and we were right in the center mm-hmm. of it all. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun here. And that's what keeps you coming back. And that's what drives you to still be a fan, is because you get a little taste of it and you're like, oh my God, I want more. I want more. And it feels like it can happen, right? It's not like this team is complete. It's like rebuilding, or like the Marlins or the White Sox, right? Like they have players that were on that team. So you feel like, oh man, it's just right there. And that's why you keep coming back. Cause you know that, well, they still have some of the same players. Like last year's Aztec team, they had a lot of the same players. And they had a great run in the Sweet 16.
Right, the difference being that San Diego State backed up a season with another season.
True.
And the 2022 Padres weren't backed up by the 2023 Padres. Such is life. Sports, you don't always get what you want. I mean, to kind of Tristan's point, it doesn't always work like that.
But yeah, I mean, you keep coming back because you've seen it and you tasted it and you want more. And it's one of those,
it's
like
an addiction. If it's your addiction, team, if you're it's your team. No, don't run away from your team. You know,
like I'm gonna watch the 49ers every game next year.
Lose every Super Bowl for the rest of the time.
Even though they've had the literally most heartbreaking losses in the NFL in the last two decades, I still go back to that freaking team no matter what.
Some differences. The Niners have been in a lot of like championship type events in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I get it, but still,
but they have lost big games. They've lost big games.
Crushing losses, bro.
Yep. They've had crushing losses. Padres did in game 5 a couple years ago against
crushing
the
Phillies. Crushing
loss. Fairly crushing.
Yeah, that was a very crushing loss.
All right, guys. Aura, longtime partner on the wrap-up show. Will, their co-founder, big supporter of this channel. Huge Padres fan, native San Diegan. Office is right here in Liberty Station, right near downtown San Diego by the airport. Listen, if you support the channel, make sure to check them out. Aura, plant-based nutritional products. All of their products are plant-based. They have probiotics, which are just terrific. I've been taking their probiotic for years now,
It's an amazing product for digestion, heart health, mental clarity, and more. They have pre-workout supplements, plant-based, proteins for after workouts, plant-based, omega-3 oils, get the same health benefits from a fish oil without the fish oil, but you get the same health benefits. They also have immunity pills, sleep pills, and much more. You can check them out by clicking the link in the description down below. They have a free shipping offer going on right now as well. ORA.organic. They support the channel they have for a long time. If you support our work, please check them out. Get healthier. Check them out by clicking the link down below.
Yeah, if you want to live that healthy lifestyle, you don't know where to start, you don't know what supplements to take, you don't even know what good supplements to take, Aura has great supplements that you can take on a daily basis to live that healthy lifestyle. www.ora.organic. Go there right now, pick some stuff, and you'll thank us later. Yes, tell us how Jim takes their protein but isn't buff.
It's funny.
Thanks. Thank you.
What about the last Super Bowl, Rich?
Which Super Bowl 10-point lead are you referring to, Rich?
Did they lead by 10 in this recent one?
Yeah.
What was the score? I'm serious.
Was that
first half or second half?
Second half.
Oh, my God. Are you serious? I watched this thing.
I'm pretty sure they had a 10-point lead. Right?
Yeah, maybe. Kind of want to look it up. Hold on.
I don't want to talk about it, bro.
Hold on. Let me just look at the box. It was 10-3. Not hear me out. 10-3 Niners at the half. So I think they might have led 10-0, dude, because then the Chiefs took a 13-10 lead after three. Niners outscored the Chiefs 9-6 in the fourth. And then I don't know if you saw overtime, but the Chiefs outscored the Niners. I think they might have led 10-0.
They did lead 10-0.
In the first half. And then it was 10-3. So they've had two double-digit leads against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and lost both of them. And then with a chance to...
Okay, why? I don't care. We're done talking
okay,
about this.
Okay, Ben, thank you.
God. I don't want to get mad.
I know. Ben, thank you. Says, I'll continue to support the team through engagement on social media, rooting for them, and following on television and radio. I will not continue to financially participate in a failing product. And Ben's a longtime supporter, right? Ben, were you a season ticket holder? Are you? You're there all the time. We've run into each other a number of times.
Yeah. That's fine. That's your prerogative.
Yeah, you're right. You do what you want.
Whatever the hell you want. If you want to spend thousands of dollars on this team every single night and be disappointed a lot, go for it.
And if you want to boycott, go for it. Everyone goes through, it's like a relationship. You get mad, you get happy. You get mad, you get happy. Yeah. I mean, it's a relationship is what it is.
If anybody is like, you're a fake fan if you don't go to the games.
No.
Give me a stop.
I would say that, do I expect them to draw 40,000 a night if they happen to turn this 32 and 34 into 40 and 50? Not really. I think at some point it will probably drop off a little bit. You play Miami on a Tuesday night and you're 40 and 50, there might not be 40,000 people there.
I do think that if this season doesn't end well, I do think we're going to start seeing a dip starting next year. I don't think this year, but next year you could start seeing a dip because people are going to just be fed up and be like, okay, I'm done for a while.
Yeah. The one thing they have done, what we can be critical as much as we've been critical, and I think it's fair and right, but the one thing they actually have excelled in is marketing. They've had big stars. They've done well with their promotional schedule. Even the guys they've added this year, Luis Arraez is kind of, he's a star. You know, he's a hitter. And Dylan Cease was widely acclaimed by Padres fans. They bring in names that do resonate, none bigger than the Machados and the Tatises. They're big names that resonate, and it's drawn people to the turnstiles. I don't know if it continues for forever, but I'm with you. I think in 2020, if this team misses out again, unfortunately, they it's going to hit the fan a little bit. They're not going to draw 13,000 people, but the 40s are going to turn into 30s,
right?
And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, a group dog's done a great job taking and capitalizing, you know, with this team getting superstar players and translating that into, you know, success at the ticket office, success with merchandise, success with game day experience, success with Gallagher Square. Like, you know, he's done a fantastic job other than the TV situation.
Yeah, but, that hasn't gone well. Yeah.
But everything else, you know, Group Dog has made going to Petco Park for the casual fan, something that a lot of people want to do.
Real quick. I mean, that's interesting from James. It's like, yeah, they're still have big crowds, but maybe they're not as big sometimes. Again, Yankees, yeah, we get it. Dodgers, they're big. I'm watching. Mm-hmm. They're huge. Yeah. But maybe some of the nights, like tonight, it's big, but it's not like big, big. I get that point. And then this is an interesting point just in general. Is this possible? I mean, 30,000, 35,000 seat venue, I think something like 20 home dates all year long through summer months. I don't know. It's at least something that it's possible that they can play a role. I don't know either.
It'll be interesting to see what happens on those nights when they both play.
Yeah, because there'll be some nights where you're right. I mean, a Saturday night SDFC and a Saturday night San Diego Padres.
Like what are the fans of both teams going to choose? I do think though, like if the Padres are winners, and they're like exciting, then you choose the Padres and they're fine. Doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. But year one, there's that honeymoon, you know, you get this like new franchise in town and you got people that are excited, this, you know, Chucky Lozano, you know what I mean? Yeah. People get excited.
If the Padres still remain like they are now, then I think people are going to be like, I want to see the new thing. Like, what's the new thing over there?
It could happen. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, join us tomorrow on John and Jim.
Oh, a 90-minute show. Holy shit.
How about that, guys? We're at the Knotty Barrel tomorrow if you want to join us. We are downtown. Is it 9th and Market? What the hell is it?
Just look up Knotty Barrel.
Google. You have Google, guys, right?
Google Knotty Barrel. A couple blocks away from
it. It's a great spot. I mean, it really is a great spot. You're two blocks from Petco Park. And even if you don't have tickets, just hang with us. There's TVs, there's beers, there's food. Really good food, really good drink. Two blocks from Petco, Friday, kick off your weekend with us. So we're there from 3 to 6. Darren's there from noon to 3. So you can join us at any point in the afternoon. So we'll do John and Jim. You can watch it on YouTube or listen on San Diego Sports 760 or on the free iHeartRadio app. And then we'll see you tomorrow night for another wrap-up show. The wrap-up shows just keep going, man. They're playing every day. They're playing at night. So we have another wrap-up show for you tomorrow night. We'll see if they can snap this 5-game skid. Please subscribe. Here's the thing. I owe it to give this away to someone. Just pick anyone. Anyone in the chat gets this. Pick someone to win this.
All right. I'm scrolling.
All right.
Scrolling.
But here's the thing. To win, you got to email Padres wrap up show.
First sub I see is getting it.
Okay.
And this is like a rolled all. Here we go. Josh's channel.
Josh's channel. If you're here live or on replay, watch him back. You got to email PadresWrapUpShow@gmail.com with your name and address, and we'll get it out to you immediately. But you got to email PadresWrapUpShow@gmail.com with your name and address. We'll get this to you immediately. Thank you, our friends at FOCO, for the support of the channel. Fernando Tatis Jr., who's red hot. He's hitting 12 straight. He is red hot. That's a big head bobblehead from our friends at FOCO. Subscribe, please. You're on content for Padres fans, the home of real Padres talk. Smash the like button. Follow us on X at John Schaefer, at Jim Russell SD. We've seen the super thanks that have been rolling in recent days. So if you're here on replay and you want to support the channel, we truly do appreciate that. You can contribute with the super thanks. Support our partners, Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. Any insurance need, Mark is your guy. He's been with us since day one. Finley, learn more. They've got their first athlete. You can invest in him directly, a top prospect in the Rangers organization. Click the link in the description down below. Get healthier with Aura at ORA.organic and take advantage of the free special pick right now for NBA Finals going on at Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code PODSWRAP, that's PADSWRAP, and get a 50% deposit match up to $250 plus a free special pick. Click the link in the description down below or scan that QR code. For Jim, I'm John.
Hold on.
This has been the wrap-up show.
Wait, hold on. You end it. You ended it? What?
No, I don't think so.
No. Okay. Hold on. I just wanted to do something real quick before you end it.
I have to do it with the Niners?
Hold on. No. Hold on.
Lakers? We didn't mention Dan Hurley.
No. Even though John Fant is like following Dan Hurley around the country right now.
I know. He's like, is he? He's like on WFAN right now.
Yeah.
It's like 4 o'clock in the East or whatever time it is.
Dude, he's the best. He's the most amazing ever.
I texted him today. He didn't come.
Really? Like, I, John, I love you. Okay, that's it. Never mind. We're good.
No, what'd you have?
Nothing. I just needed to pull up something so I could like check something before we go off the air. There's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Do it, Jim. Be a man.
There's nothing. Peace out, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply.